Welcome back. This week's episode was recorded last summer, actually, and I'm just catching up on a few episodes. So this episode is with Bree Stockwell. She is a creative coach and photographer, and she's all about encouraging and supporting others to be creative in a sustainable way. Bree runs two podcasts herself, Wild Women in Photography and A Creative Affair. And today we are just having a catch-up and a chat around all things creative, encouragement, motivation, sustainability, sharing your work. I hope you enjoy it, and we're just going to get straight into it now.
Being a creative like this is kind of interesting because I like creating for me, but it sometimes feels a little, it's not totally pointless, but it's almost like I have to share things with the world, and then you're on display, especially doing what we do, which is, you know, we're, you know, we both have podcasts and we're both, you know, doing things with people where we kind of want to be, we're putting ourselves on purpose out there for people to notice us.
It's true, isn't it? It's a funny one, isn't it? Because if you didn't do it, you wouldn't have a business.
You can't do business really in a bubble.
It's changed so much, hasn't it, now that we kind of, I don't know, it's maybe just part and parcel of running a creative business now, actually. And if you want to have retreats that sell or coaching that sells, you can't rely on like the yellow pages, which is like the book that we used to have. I don't know if you had that. We used to have a book and you'd go through it.
I'm 48. I remember all of this stuff.
you just couldn't do that anymore. So I think that it's a difficult one, isn't it? And I think it's an interesting one actually to talk about, because it's probably more relevant for people like me and you who are running these types of things. That yes, it's kind of, people like to see the person that behind the work. I certainly do. I like to see insights to somebody's life. So maybe we just kind of got used to doing that, and it doesn't bother me at all. I quite enjoy sharing in that way.
But I think there is benefit to being vulnerable with sharing our work, even if you don't have a business. You know, when we share our work, there are things that happen, you know, and for us too. Like, I want to share my work for me because I get to do so much personal work before that. Like, there's decision making involved. I have to give myself my own feedback and kind of be objectively judgmental about it. And there's an amount of confidence too with sharing your stuff. And it doesn't have to be like portfolio quality work, but having the story with it. And for sure, it is difficult to have the business without the sharing. But I just think sharing in general is beneficial on so many levels, whether or not you're an introvert or an extrovert. I was also thinking too, what you said about creating solo, because, and maybe a lot of what my thoughts are today are about what you were saying, that creating solo is super important for you. And I love that because it seems like it really helps you tune into like who you are and what you want to create, and creating just for you. I was just having a conversation with a client about, do we create for ourselves? Do we create for other people? What do other people think about our stuff? How do we allow that to influence us? And I find when I can go and create solo in my photography and also in my business, like I love reading and listening to what other people say and kind of collecting the information. But then when I go to create, I have to be in a place where it's me doing the thing. That's when I do my best work.
But definitely the creation part of it is when I'm by myself, I can really tune into that. Definitely. And I think that's true for a lot of people, to be honest with you. But I think there's also great value in having that community around you. So when I say community, I mean people, it doesn't have to be like lots of people, like three people or four people, whatever it is, around you that are supporting, and you're talking things through and you're bouncing ideas. This is why I run the podcast. It's amazing for me. I love it. And it's very creative, but it's not my creative output. It's just part of that process. So I'm learning from you all the time. You're supporting me. You're encouraging me. You're talking my language here. So I love that. I just love that. I could probably talk for hours with you.
Brené Brown has a saying for this, that small group of people. I've talked about it on my podcast with Lynn Metcalf. It's called A Creative Affair. You've probably listened to part of it.
It's brilliant.
It's really fun. So I know I've talked about it. I can't remember on which one, but Brené Brown calls this her square squad. And it's all the people that you respect their feedback. When you have like a small group of people that you respect their opinion and you want to talk things through, I also think, you know, this is part of it. On a teeny tiny little, you know, the smallest piece of paper, you write down the people that you respect, that you care about what they say. And everyone else, you don't have to care about. I mean, it really does take a lot of the energy, the emotional energy suck away from caring about what everyone in the whole world thinks, because you have these like limited amount of people. Mm-hmm. And I love that I have those people, you know, and it's good to have all these people. I have little pockets of people that I keep for different things in my life.
Little sections. I love it.
Yeah.
I have different things. I have my membership community, which is actually quite, it's interesting what you were saying there about sharing just for yourself. So a lot of the members in there, they're not professionals. They're doing it for themselves. They're doing it for well-being. They're doing it for the sharing part of it is something that always comes into question. We share within that closed community doors, which is, you know, feels very safe. But the question, do you share further? And what's the point in sharing if you're just doing it for yourself? But I think feedback and encouragement and the fact that you're looking through things and you're thinking, well, what am I sharing? Why am I sharing it? What are the words to go with it? Is actually really important. And there's a lot of negativity around social media, but I think it can be very valuable if you use it not for validation. Just going to put a clause in there.
Yes, we don't use social media to make ourselves feel better. We use it as, I say we, but it's me. Like I use it as a tool for connecting with other people, partly for building my business. You know, I use it for inspiration. Going on social media and using it as a way to either to feel better also works conversely, like you said. It also, if you go on there, it could be a catalyst for feeling really terrible. That's not really how I want to live. I don't really want to put my emotional health onto the backs of other people. Like I want to be in charge of it. Like that's some real power there when we can be in charge of it. Like that's, truthfully, that's a lot of the work that I do with my clients is separating that out, seeing why that is, seeing why we care about so much about what other people think, you know, and making decisions for us about, you know, what we care about and how much energy we want to spend on and on doing our creative work, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Totally understand. I really like this idea of this square squad, and I've written that down. She's brilliant, Brené Brown, isn't she?
She's incredible. Oh gosh,
sometimes a little bit over my head. I sort of feel it's just like, oh, I didn't quite follow all of that, but I'm learning.
That's why it's great to learn from so many different kinds of people, because we'll read something or listen to something, and then we can't absorb it all in one go because we haven't, you know, we haven't learned all the things that there are to know in the world. We'll go off and listen to somebody else's podcast or read some article or look at a photograph or a painting and have some thoughts about it. And then we'll come back to something we already read or listened to before and have new thoughts about it. So that's what's fun about bookmarking those and saying, oh, I want to come back to this. Like this was important.
Yes.
Coming back to it, right? We're continually learning, and that's partly what makes this work so fun is doing the continual learning, but doing it in a way that feels great without being overwhelmed. So many people to learn from.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? I agree with you then. I think that's also part of that thing of not being completely solo all the time. So it's really important what you said about who you get the feedback from. It's really, really important, and who not to listen to everybody. I read one of the comments on the YouTube video with Sean Tucker, and it said something like, and I've heard this before, Margaret's not an introvert, she's articulate and she's talkative or something, you know, I don't know. And I just rolled my eyes, right? Okay, whatever. I'm not going to listen to somebody's feedback like that, because that's just absolute nonsense. You have to move on from certain things, don't you? And then be careful who's in that square squad, I suppose. Just be mindful be mindful of it.
Yes. And you know, it's interesting because ultimately, like a designation like that, introvert, extrovert, that's just for us to understand ourselves better. Mm-hmm. Like, I see that once you were like, I like creating solo, like I like doing this work solo, I get so much out of it. How can I do more? It seems like that's energizing for you and you've picked up on that. And so having that little designation doesn't mean that you don't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Right. It just means that sometimes, even when you move to Isle of Harris, so like, which I love, by the way, so that you could have those more quiet moments to yourself. It looks like your creativity has actually really expanded since you've gone there because you've put yourself in a place, you know, that does that. You know, I've been doing a lot of work with energy and noticing mm-hmm. how much energy we use on things, what kind of drains us of energy, what things energize us, what kind of thinking yeah. or emotions energize us. And for sure, a lot of us believe that our creative work is super energizing, but it also does take a lot of energy out of us, right? So, you know, figuring out how to balance all that and how to best do we work. And, you know, if you're like, you know what, being around a lot of people is, it drains me. It drains my energy so much that it's harder to create. Not that you don't ever create with people around you. I mean, sometimes yeah. that's really fun.
It's just self-awareness, isn't it? Then you're just mm-hmm. going, actually, I'm self-aware enough to know that it's good to be around people for a while, and then I'll go and do the work that I can do by myself, and then I'll re-energize in this way. That's all it is. It's just looking at yourself, isn't it? So I was looking at your website and I downloaded your mini guide, your motivation mini guide. I absolutely Aww. Love it. So can you just tell me, is this what you do most? Is this how your business looks like? Is it the coaching side of things that's important to you?
That is such an interesting question right at this moment, because over the past few years, I feel like I've shifted in different ways as I feel yeah. like I need to change. And so the coaching is very important to me mm-hmm. right now. And I love it so much. With the coaching, I knew a few years ago that I wanted to coach creative specifically because I saw a lot of struggle with like imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. People yeah. were like, I've got creative blocks. I'm burnt out. Someone said this thing about my creative work, like my art or my photographs. So I just stopped doing the work. And I'm like, no, please don't let that stuff stop you, right? The coaching is a way to, for me, it's like more than therapy. This is like becoming, you said awareness, becoming conscious of yeah. what's happening, what beliefs you have, what you're thinking about, and why you're doing, maybe why you're doing certain things, yeah. and empowering you to make, I love empowering my clients and people around me to make decisions from a place that feels authentic, like aligned and powerful. Mm-hmm. When I started photographing, I thought I had to make like the grand landscape. I thought that's what a landscape photographer does. And then I saw some people that were photographing like small little things, like Sarah Marino would do dunes or like, you know, mud cracks or whatever. And I'm like, oh my gosh, people photograph rocks. Yeah. That can be a thing. And I didn't know. And so that lights me up. Like, I love that. I just went to a park. I spent a morning, about an hour, photographing like just all kinds of little things and rocks and coming up with titles. And it was so amazing. And it's not work I ever thought I would do when I first started. Yeah. But this is like, I always do my own work, but empowering myself to not care about what other people think, except my Square Squad, of course. But I am the one that cares the most about what I think, and allowing myself to do that work and explore my creativity and not have anything that holds me back, including thinking I'm an imposter. In fact, recently I'm like, am I a professional photographer? Am I? Like, what is that? What does that even mean? So this work, I love it. When I started this work, I asked what people wanted the most. And mm-hmm. someone said, I want to be motivated. In fact, multiple people said that. And so mm-hmm. I just started doing a weekly email. Sometimes I do more. I send it on Mondays. It's called Monday Motivation. And I talk about all kinds of things related to motivation. I don't know if you felt this way, Margaret, when you when you opened up that little guide, I felt like I included things in there that were not obvious to motivation, that we think sometimes the things that we think are motivating are like things that we have to do. And I think sometimes being motivated is just allowing ourselves to just sit with some emotions that we're feeling and allowing ourselves to do that, celebrating our own successes, whether or not that feels like egotistical or not, you know, that's super motivating. There's so much that we can do as creatives to keep ourselves creating. And I like the feeling of being motivated. It keeps me in a forward momentum.
Yes. When I opened it up, I thought, absolutely. To everything you said, I was like, absolutely. I was going through them going, yep. Oh, this is just brilliant stuff. So I think everybody needs to go and sign up on your website for start. Get this little guide because it's just brilliant. And I agree with you totally. And I think that motivation, you're sort of flipping it, aren't you? You're motivating people by taking away some of the things that rather than motivating, you're breaking down the resistance, you're breaking down the barriers that we put up ourselves. So that's the first step, isn't it? But also I loved the take a break bit because I think that's where I get my motivation from mostly is when I've had a break. So like the other day, I just went, right, I need a day off. So I'm going to put the dog to the dog sitter because she's a nightmare. She's a puppy. Well, she's not a puppy, but she behaves like one. I put her to the dog sitter and I went to the beach and it meant that I could, it was a lovely day. We don't have that many. Sat on the beach for 5 hours with books and pens and I went swimming and then I went and got some pizza and I sat in the van eating it all by myself. It was like luxury, you know, it wasn't that big luxury, but it was nice to have that time. So giving yourself a break, giving yourself that time, and then you're just super motivated at the end of it because you're refreshed.
Yes. That's funny that you said that because I literally just did that. I like spent it. When I went to Northern California, I went on so many hikes by myself. I went to the beach by myself. I did everything. Yeah. I got a tattoo by myself. I did so many things by myself, and I barely talked to anybody. And even though I really identify as an extrovert, it was really refreshing. Like I wanted it. I kind of was craving it. I have a question for you. How did you know that you needed the break?
I was wanting to get on with some writing, actually. I'm trying to write a book at the moment. So I've been trying to write it for like 3 years. You know, it's not new. But I was thinking, I'm a bit stuck. I need to, you know, to gain a bit of traction with this. How do I do it? And my answer to is always take a complete break from life. So leave the desk behind, leave the house behind and go and sit by myself and just say, actually, you don't need to write anything. You can maybe just read a book, take that pressure off. So I think I was feeling a little bit stuck. So it was a very conscious thought process. It was consciously going, okay, I want to feel motivation. I want to get on with something. How do I do that? And then that for that day, on that particular day, that was my answer.
And when you were there, were you like, oh, I need to be somewhere else? Like, oh, I should be doing something, you know, were there any of those thoughts?
No, I've kind of like learned to not do that anymore. I used to do that, you know, when we're younger and maybe life's different then, you know, when children are small and everything.
Yeah, and gosh.
It's a different life, isn't it? But you kind of.
Yes, it totally is.
Yeah. And then you beat yourself up, don't you, when you're younger and you go like, I should be doing this, should be doing that. And now it's just like, I'm not saying that anymore. I'm just not doing it anymore. I deserve this. And actually, there's nothing wrong with having some time out, is there? What is the problem with that? We've just got to learn to do that for ourselves, I think.
I think it's about understanding what we need creatively. Mm-hmm. And it's about doing it on purpose. And really consciously, because this is some of the work I'm doing, is I'm calling it conscious creativity. It just I've been trying to define more of what I'm doing. Actually, I know what I'm doing, but there's parts of it. Yeah. And this is a big part of it, which is being conscious of how we create and what we need to do more of it and and sustain ourselves through it. So the work I'm actually doing now, I'm actually going to be redoing my whole website. So not my whole thing, but a big part of it, because the work I'm doing now is about sustainable creativity. Mm-hmm. And it's about like noticing when we need a break, when we need to do certain things, when we need to create alone, when we need the feedback of other people or want the feedback of other people. Maybe our body's tired. Like today, like I just got back from a road trip. I'm feeling like I'm getting a little bit sick. So honestly, after this, I'm going to go lay in my bed the rest of the day. Yeah. No joke. And I have something that I have on my calendar for tonight, and I'm going to decide whether or not to do that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to force myself to do it because it's not necessary. But like on purpose, I'm going to go like lay in my bed because I know that that will be helpful for me. Yes. And it's not just randomly. It's like I'm going to do it on purpose. So many of us do things like unconsciously or subconsciously, and then some crazy things happen. We're like, how did I get here? How did I get to all this overwhelm? How did I get to this place where I feel so burnt out? You know, and understanding how to be more aware and conscious of how we're doing it, how much energy and time we have to use on it, and how we can regenerate our energy is like the key to not getting to that place ever if we don't want to.
It doesn't make us good people to be busy all the time. And I think we've got stuck in that sort of world, haven't we? But I think going back to what you're doing here and what you're setting up, I think it's so needed. From what I can see, it's coming from a place of you having worked through these things in yourself and in your life, because it doesn't come naturally to us, all of this. And you've got to this place where you can then help others with it. And I think that's just wonderful. That's it, isn't it? You know, because I'm the same. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I can see it in you. I can hear it in you and I can read it in these words here. People need that. And all of these things that you're helping people with are so important. And I can see that you're maybe evolving that slightly. Evolving, we're constantly going, right, like, how do we adapt this slightly? What are we going to offer? What are we going to be? And because our experience evolves, doesn't it? And as it does, then we can build something. Basically what I'm trying to say, long-winded ways, you're building something wonderful, and people need this because they need all of these things that you're talking, all of these steps, you know, how and when are they part of community? When do they need feedback? When do they need to give themselves a break? You've done it, and I think I've done it as well. So we're both doing it naturally now, but then helping other people with it, that could lead to some massive life changes. And it doesn't sound groundbreaking to help somebody take time out and be creative, but it is. It's life changing, isn't it?
The groundbreaking part of the work is if, like for me, if I'm talking to a client that's like, I can't take time. Like I don't have time. I'm desperate to create. I feel terrible. You know, like that's definitely not the life experience that they want. I think so often we're like, well, how do we get that? And sometimes it's almost impossible to figure out how we get that. You know, I started this work a while ago. Well, in my evolution, I've been doing work on confidence, creative confidence, mm-hmm. and all these different parts, like releasing perfection, you know, talking about failure and, you know, kind of understanding more of the fear that we feel as creatives when we mm-hmm. put our stuff out there, you know, because it is scary to be vulnerable and there's other things involved in it. That work has helped inform my next work because I knew there was more than just confidence. But, you know, what's funny is I know there's more. So what is it? And then it was like the universe kind of tapped me with its magic wand and showed me personally what I needed through my own experiences. It's like, if we ask the question, we will get an answer. And I know when I say that like out loud, then the universe is going to like magically make some sort of challenge appear that I have to work through so that I can do this for my clients. So that's what makes it kind of funny and interesting is I'm like, okay, what more is there? So I just started can I tell you this thing?
Please do.
I just started a new podcast and
oh yes.
And as I started working through this work of like mastering the art of sustainable creativity, and I'm like, what more is there? Like, because I'm really digging into this too. I hear you like writing a book, and I'm like, well, maybe this is for me one day too, but like, but I want to explore so much of this too. And so I'm like, ooh, what, you know, what's more involved in this? And then my brain, my creative brain is like, you should start a podcast, another one. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so I texted these ladies who are my Square Squad, so they know who they are. And I said, I just thought of something, but I am so freaked out by it. Like, and I said, I think I want to do this podcast. And they said, yeah, you should totally do it. And I'm like, pause, whoa, because I wanted to do what I teach, which was be conscious of what I'm creating. Like, how much time do I really have for this? Do I really have the energy? Like, could I really keep this going for like a year? Is this really something? Yeah. Like, just because I think of it doesn't mean that I have to do it.
I'm like you. I do things like that as well. And I go, right, can I actually do this other thing that I've just dreamt up? So yeah, I get it.
Well, so many of us do. We're like, oh, I have the best idea. And what happens is we either don't do it because we're afraid, or we do go do it. We just have the idea and we go run after it because it sounds fun. And then what happens is we get overwhelmed with it because we haven't thought it all the way through. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've totally done that. Or we can do it. We can do it in this conscious way, which is like, all right, how much time do I really have? I can quantify that. How much energy do I have? You know, I'm actually putting together a little guide for that too. So because there are things that we can really look at, like what we do in our lives and say, do I really have time for that? Mm-hmm. Do I want to drop something else in order to do this other thing? Yeah. Right. Because we really can't do it all. Like, we just can't. No. Even though we want to so badly, right? Like, well, Margaret, I saw your paintings, and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to paint so bad. When can I get, how can I go get all this stuff to paint? And I'm like, whoa.
The funny thing with the paintings is that it really works with what you've just said there. I've wanted to do this for 10 years, I'd say, painting. And in my head, I've gone, now isn't the time, because I don't have the time, the space, or the energy in my life. It will happen. And then as the kids went and things got a bit easier, and I was like, actually, you know, next year will be the time. So I started thinking ahead that way. So it was very, very conscious, that decision. It's very much from the heart. But I've put it off for, I'd say 10, 15 years, actually, because there wasn't the time or the space or the energy in my life for it. And I think it's seriously important. This word conscious, I love it, because I think we all need to do things a bit more consciously, because it's not all from the heart and then things will just happen. You have to put things in place. I love the concept of your new podcast, and I can totally see why you're doing it. And I think it's got its place, and it will be something that's right for you. I sort of feel, do you want to just tell us a little bit about it, actually?
I would love to. So it's called Wild Women in Photography. And part of what I do is, like, whenever I'm starting something, I always ask myself, is it fun? And when I thought of the title, I'm like, that sounds fun. So there's me. I do my own photography, but I have a website called Wild Woman Photography. And this podcast is like a celebration of female photographers. So I just wrote that my mission, I'm fine tuning this now, because truthfully, this is an evolving work. And I don't even mind, like, before I used to be like, it has to be all like, done and taken care of. And I'm like, no, this work is an evolution. This is the start of it, right? Even like my website is bare bones, and I don't even care, because you know what? There's such good stuff to come. And I don't want to feel like I have to be perfectionist and do it all right away. Yeah. I can do it a little bit at a time and then evolve as I go. Okay. So this podcast and my website is to support and celebrate the success, growth, and creativity of women in photography. And I might change around the order of the creativity, growth, and success of women in photography, but it is not just for like landscape photographers or wildlife photographers. I want to have all different kinds of female photographers on, and we are going to hear their stories. Like, we know about our camera gear, right? Like, and this isn't just regular, it's not just regular interviews. I want to hear stories. Whenever I listen to someone's like podcast interview, I'm like, but I want to hear their stories.
Yeah.
Like, tell me about your stories. And I really do want to hear all these stories. I can't even tell you. This is so fun to make. And guess what? You and I are going to talk tomorrow, which I'm super excited about.
This guide, if people want to go and download this motivation guide.
If you go to creativemindscoach.com and you'll go on there, you can go to creativemindscoach.com and scroll down and you can subscribe and you can get the guide. Or you can go to my Instagram and click the link and there will be a link to get the guide. And the thing I want to say about it, there are 10 kind of quickie ideas. And it's all mobile friendly, but those are little small snippets of the emails that I send. And the emails to me, I love creating these. So if you like download this guide and you're like, oh my gosh, the snippet, like that doesn't feel like enough, for sure, that's enough to kind of go on and give you some ideas. But it's the emails, the meat of the emails that are really the helpful thing, you know?
Brilliant. Well, I'll look forward to those then. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time. And I'm looking forward to listening to your new podcast. So thank you for sharing that with us as well.
Thanks, Margaret. You are doing such fabulous things in the world of like creativity that I just want you to keep going. So good for you. Keep going.
Thank you. Thank you so much.